Okay, Exodus chapter 16, we'll continue on there. It's kind of just a review because it's important to understand where we've come to this point. Israelites have been brought out of Egypt. As I review these things that these individuals have seen, this has taken place over maybe a few months' time. This is not years and years that have gone by or generations past. These individuals have seen these things. The plagues in Egypt and the miracles that God wrought there, the separation between the Israelites and the Egyptians. When they were led out of Egypt, the pillar of cloud, the pillar of fire and of clouds, something that nobody had seen before, but showing God's presence. The parting of the Red Sea, them being able to walk across on dry land, both of which are miracles, if you stop and think about it. The fact that their enemies were destroyed after they got to the other side, so they were protected. God provided for them there. A couple weeks ago, we talked about them 3 days later coming to a place where they didn't have water. And again, they complained. God provided, turned the bitter waters there at Marah to sweet water so they could drink, and provided for them. And then at the end of chapter 15, led them to a place of 12 wells running with water and provided abundantly for them, and 70 palm trees. You think, oh, so what, a palm tree? Well, when you're out in the wilderness like that, a little bit of shade goes a long way, doesn't it? We noticed that yesterday, right? It was kind of shady because it was cloudy, and it was a lot more comfortable instead of being out under the sun with that beating on your head. Chapter 16, we talked about the first part of this last week. Again, complaining because they didn't have, we talked about this last week. They didn't have an overabundance. Really, they were complaining because of possible circumstances. They could see their supplies dwindling, and instead of going to God and bring it before him, they complained to Moses. God provides manna, bread from heaven, Scripture says, and meat for them to eat. And we talked about that last week. And we are about verse 16, 17, right in there. We'll start at 16. And this is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating. Remember, we talked about that. Everybody's supposed to gather about an omer, 2 quarts worth of this manna, this substance that God has provided. Every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your person. So everybody went out and gathered their amount of provision for that day to make bread out of. According to the number of your persons, take ye every man for them which are in his tents. And the children of Israel did so and gathered some more and some less. And they that did meet it or measure it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. So God provided for their need. They said earlier in this chapter that they would have rather died in Egypt where they could eat to the full, where there was plenty, where there was abundance, where there was leftovers all the time. God says, I will provide your need, but you have no need for extra. I will provide your necessities and care for you, but there's no reason for abundance. So we pick up here in verse 19. As I back up a minute, if you jump back to verse 4, it says, behold, God is talking, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather. He's talking to Moses here at a certain rate, and we've talked about that, every day, that I may prove or test them whether they will walk in my law or not. As we read down through these next several verses, see if you can see where God is providing a test for them to see if they're going to pay attention and listen. So here we go. We're going to read several verses and then come back and start talking about them. Okay. And Moses said, verse 19, let no man leave of it till the morning. Notwithstanding, they heard not Moses, but some of them left it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank, and Moses was wroth or angry with them. And they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. And when the sun waxed hot, it melted. And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is what that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today, and seethe or boil or cook that which you will cook or boil, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning. And they laid it up until the morning, and Moses, as Moses bade or told them, and it did not stink, neither was there any worms therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather it, for they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse you to keep my commandments and my laws? See, for the Lord hath given you the Sabbath, therefore he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place, yet no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna, which means I don't know. It was like a coriander seed white, and a taste of it was like wafers made with honey. So here we see the circumstances and what's taken place. Did you catch the first test that God gave them? Verse 19. It's kind of before that. It's only gather what you're going to eat. Obviously, there might be a temptation to scoop up extra because I might want a snack later or whatever. I might want to save some for tomorrow for those that weren't listening to the instructions. So, pardon me? Yeah, exactly. I will provide your needs, but you only need a certain amount. So he told them, gather a specific amount, right? Gather that omer, that 2 quarts. That's what's needed per person. And it was proven, those that gathered that much, because there was only 2 in their household, they gathered little, they lacked nothing. And those that had to gather a lot because they had a lot of kids, they didn't have any left over. God provided just what they needed. Number 2 was what? Don't let it set till the morning. And God showed them why. Because if you do, and apparently some did, notwithstanding verse 20, they hearkened not unto Moses, and some left until the morning, and they found out why God said not to do that. It bred worms and stank. That's disgusting. Ever had food rot in your house? Probably not to the point, I mean, I'm sure most of the times we catch it before it gets too bad, but. Yeah. Or ever opened a refrigerator that's had food in it and sat for a long time, maybe not necessarily your house, and there's mold all over. It's pretty disgusting, isn't it? And God said, here is what I am instructing you to do. And obviously, there were some who were either, who knows, too lazy to deal with whatever was left over, didn't pay attention. A little saying my dad used to say all the time, if you're going to pay anything in life, pay attention. I used to tell my kids that all the time. Don't be scatterbrained. Pay attention to what's going on around you. But again, why they wouldn't follow God's instructions, it doesn't tell us. Were they just rebellious and disobedient and I don't want to be told what to do? I don't know. But whatever the reason is, there were some that had a hard time following instructions. Ever had a hard time following instructions? or lack of trust, yep. You know, sometimes God shows us in His Word, here's something that you need to do. But we have difficulty in following that because we either don't want to or don't want to put forth the effort or are just rebellious. What? Doubt, whatever it might be, we don't follow through. And just like with the Israelites, how hard is it to, I got leftovers, I throw them out, or I make sure that they're all eaten before nightfall. It's not that difficult, right? How difficult is it to obey God and His Word? Yeah, yep. Okay, so they gathered every morning. Verse 21, they gathered every morning, every man according to his eating, and when the sun waxed hot, it melted. So every morning and every evening, they had to go out and gather God's provision. So there wasn't, again, we talked about this, there wasn't that abundance. There was just enough for that day, which in a way forced them to look to God for the provision for the next day, right? Not, well, look, I've got a whole pantry full of food and I don't have to worry about it because, you know, I stored up 45 gallons of manna or whatever. So I've got plenty and I don't have to worry about it. God doesn't always provide for us vision of what's ahead, right? He wants us to trust Him in the moment. We talked about this last week. He wants us to trust Him now, and then the next moment He wants us to trust Him then. He doesn't necessarily want to show us everything in the future, because if He does, where's the trust? I already know the answers, and that's not the way God works. So they had to gather every morning. Something else, you might not think about it, but when the sun waxed hot, or eventually, sometime, what? The end of verse 21, it melted, it went away. So there was a limited time for that to take place, right? If you didn't get up and go out and gather before the sun came up and started to melt it, guess what? You're out of luck, right?
Sleep in too much.
Yeah. Don't sleep in too long or you might not get, you know, your full provision. So they had to be diligent at what they were doing and couldn't wait too long, which in a way is another test. This isn't just whenever you feel like it, but you need to get up and do that. Another one, it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much. And he said, verse 23, this is that the Lord has said, tomorrow is a day of rest. So you're going to gather today twice as much. You're going to do your baking and your cooking today. And you're going to eat that tomorrow, because tomorrow you're not supposed to be doing this. There's another test. Today, on the sixth day, you gather twice as much. So, well, let's keep reading here. And they laid up till morning. So many of them did, laid up till morning as Moses had bade or told them, verse 24, and it did not stink the next day. Why not? Because they were obeying God. Imagine that. When we obey God and follow His instructions, the situation doesn't turn out stinky and rotten, right? But when we don't follow God's instructions, guess what? trouble follows, and the situation gets smelly, shall we say, or rotten, because we didn't do what we were supposed to do. So lessons for them, lessons for us. And then following God's instructions leads to unexpected results. They expected the stuff that they gathered and were going to leave over to the next day to rot and grow worms, but it didn't because of obedience to God. And then the last one, the last instruction is don't gather on the seventh day. Verse 26, 6 days you gathered it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And it came to pass that what? There went out somebody, there were some people on the seventh day who went out to gather, but they found none. Why do you think they would go gather on the seventh day? Okay, there's a possibility. You know what? I was supposed to gather twice as much yesterday, but I didn't because I didn't feel like it, or I didn't want to. And now I have to deal with the circumstances because, or the consequences of my disobedience, because now there's none to gather. There's another one. Ever meet somebody that just is like scatterbrained? You know, well, I didn't hear anybody tell me that. Well, you were standing right there when it was explained to you. Well, I don't remember. Yeah. That's a possibility as well. I guess when God gives us instructions, we should what? Pay attention, right? God doesn't always give those instructions twice. And sometimes the instructions he gives us or the lessons we need to learn, if we don't pay attention, we will not learn those lessons, and he has to bring that around at some other point to us again until we finally get to the point where we realize, hey, there's a lesson here I'm supposed to learn, and maybe I should pay attention and do what I'm supposed to do. Jim? Right. Right. That's their circumstances.
My mind is going to the Y2K when we gathered all this stuff because Joseph gathered all this stuff.
Yeah.
Which principle is applicable at what time? I mean, when you gather so much and when you just say, God provides my daily bread.
I suppose circumstances would dictate which, I mean, to be wasteful, which is
and
what
it was wasteful.
Right.
Gathered buckets that are being pitched.
Yes. So
at what point? I mean, we've heard this from church. We had meetings.
Yeah.
About
yeah.
Gathering.
So the circumstances might be you did gather in extra, maybe putting that to use as opposed to letting it set for so long is the lesson to be learned there. Not that. Right. Could be both. Could be either. Could be depending on individual circumstances. Who's to say that one person didn't have to learn the lesson of trusting God and not laying up provisions, and on another person's heart he says, you need to lay up provisions, but obviously not to the point of waste. Use those provisions, you know, whether it's for yourself or others or whatever it might be. Yeah.
And you're reading scripture and you see both of these principles there, how does a new believer discern which principle am I supposed to be applying?
It's taking it by context. You learn the context of what it is. I like the saying that God provides for you. He provides for the squirrels, but he don't throw the nuts in their nest.
Do you hear that? Say it again a little louder.
God provides for the squirrels, but he doesn't throw their nuts in their nest.
Okay.
So we have to be careful, but we have to take everything by context.
Right.
That's a working principle.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, here, and in Joseph, okay, God explicitly told them what to do. Gather in Joseph's. Don't gather extra here for six, you know, for 5 days, 6 days.
Right.
Gather extra, right? So they were just supposed to obey. We weren't given that kind of information at Y2K.
Yeah.
Right? So that's, I think that's very different, right? It's not
yeah.
Like they were supposed to obey.
Yeah. Right. Circumstances. Go ahead, Judson.
Yeah, I can't speak to Y2K. I wasn't really paying much attention to anything. but I like what Doug was saying, because that ties into a lot of other parts of Scripture. I mean, you think in Proverbs, you think as a new believer you're reading, Solomon at one hand is saying, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes. Another time he's saying, don't answer a fool according to his folly, lest you join him.
Right.
You're also stupid.
Right. Right.
And you apply the appropriate principle. And that's not something that's going to come super easily to someone like
right.
a new Christian. It's not even something that's always going to come super easily to a veteran.
Right.
You know, they've been trusting God for years. But it's something that you trust God to give you that direction. You trust God to
right.
give you the next step
mm-hmm.
in whatever that circumstance that you're interacting with right then and there.
Right. Situations are different. Time frames are different. Right.
Whereas if you have like you say like with Josh and Lauren's family, it is when you have six kids, four kids, and daddy and themselves, it's like okay, you need to have enough to cover it. Then there's what? It's the wisdom. Because there's to be times where as it was shown in the first grade and the second and more in the second, where you got extra but it rotted trucks
mm-hmm.
and then on the 6 days like you have extra cooking.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So back to our passage here. And so it's, what was the purpose of gathering on the sixth day and not on the seventh? The Sabbath, the rest day. And God wanted to instruct them. But he didn't just say on the Sabbath, you're not going to gather, you're going to rest. Why do you think he just didn't give them that command? They have a hard time following what he's already given them to do, right? So he gives them circumstances where they have to follow the directions, because if you didn't gather double on Saturday and you didn't have for Sunday, like you said, you went hungry, you had to deal with those circumstances or consequences for not obeying. And then those that for whatever reason decided to go gather on Sunday, found nothing. And again, God says to him, okay, this is what you have to do. How long, we'll get to this later on, but how long did God feed them with manna? Do you remember? 40 years until they went into the promised land? Do you think by then they would have learned that the Sabbath is to be set apart for God? Hopefully so. Hopefully by then. Hopefully by then, yeah. Hopefully by then they would have learned. Some, I heard this saying years ago, some people dealing with motorcycles, some people are electric start, some people are kick start. Some people God can give instructions to and they say, God, I understand that instruction, and I will follow what you've given me to do. Other people, God gives instructions to, and they don't follow for whatever reason, and God has to give them a swift, what? Kick in the pants sometimes. Maybe that's the example here. So much better would it be if he could just say, the seventh day is set aside for rest. You're going to rest. I will provide for you the day before to cover for this day. You're supposed to set aside this day for me. But obviously there were some that couldn't follow those instructions.
They disobeyed him twice. They disobeyed
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And then we come, excuse me, verse 32. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commanded. Fill an omer or a container to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I forgot you, or when I brought you forth, I'm sorry, from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to keep for your generation. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to the land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came into the borders of the land of Canaan." Now, an omer, if you wanted to know, there you go. An omer is a tenth part of an ephah, if you didn't know. There it is. What is God instruct? Oh, by the way, what do you think that manna looked like in that pot after 40 years? I would bet it's as fresh as the day they picked it up. Yet if you left it over from one night, or from one day to the next, out of disobedience, it would rot and stink. God says to Moses, tell the people, or tell Aaron to do this, to gather up a measurement of that and put it in a pot and keep it. Why? To remember. We've been through this before, haven't we? To remember what God has done. God has brought Israel to this point, and he says to him, I will provide your needs, but you have to trust me that every day I'm going to provide that need. I'm going to give you bread in the morning, manna for you to gather and make bread out of. I'm going to give you meat, substance in the evening, so that you can eat meat. I'm going to provide for you, but I'm providing for you each and every day. And again, sometimes it's difficult for the Israelites. Sometimes it's difficult for us to get that through our thick skulls, that God will provide for us. Like we talked about before, God doesn't show us the entire picture. God doesn't show us the beginning from the end. God doesn't even show us tomorrow. Because how much faith does it take to live tomorrow if you already know what tomorrow brings? Zero. And how do we learn faith and trust in God if we're always given the answers? We don't. God tests us to prove us as well. Will we trust him? Will we rely upon him from one day to the next? And the reason for putting this memorial up, or this symbol, is to remember what God has done. Again, we've talked about this many times. God says, for a remembrance. I want you to keep doing this for a remembrance. There's things that we do as a church for a remembrance. There's possibly things that we should be doing as individuals for a remembrance. I see that, whatever it might be, not to worship that, but to remind me that God is faithful. God has never left me. God will never let me down. I may have lessons to learn. It may be hard to find God sometimes because I have things wrong in my life that I have to make right before I can be led by him or see him again. But we need to trust. Doug.
And what ended up eventually happening was he was able to feed his family.
Yeah.
And get back with his family. But there's a point where 7 years.
Yeah, store up, yep, for the future.
It's also a testament, a evidence for the future, too, that this is what God has provided in the past for the kids' home, because they might not, or the grandkids, they don't
Right, well, and passing down that information and how important that is from one generation to the next to pass down those times that God has provided, that proof that God is faithful. Okay, Lord bless you this morning. You're dismissed.